this week, Do Did Will, the Story of People podcast with Brittle Star. He is the internet's favorite dad. Sure, it's unproven, but it's on a shirt, so it must be true. But the proof is just in the videos. I mean, his family-friendly videos have been seen more than 600 million times on all the platforms. He was one of the first people to kick off on Vine, and now he's all over the internet making some of the most amazing, funny content out there. He's Canadian, which, you know, of course, we love to hold on to our Canadians. They're ours. And he's really just in demand and one of the most popular people. And we're going to kick it off with his very funny video about America versus Canada.
Hey, neighbor.
Oh, hi, America.
What's with the decorations?
It's Canada Day. We're having a little get-together.
Canada Day?
Yeah, kind of like July 4th for you guys.
Yeah, but we do July 4th because we got lots of stuff to celebrate. We got Eagles and Freedom and KFC. What do you have to celebrate?
Did you just say, what do we have to celebrate?
Yeah, I...
Universal healthcare. So if you break your leg, you can still afford a snack while you wait in the ER. The metric system. But to be fair, everybody else has that except you. Maternity leave. Because we think if a woman carries around another human for 9 months, she might need some time off. Poutine. French fries, gravy, cheese curds. If angels owned food trucks, they'd make poutine. Bagged milk. It's more environmentally friendly, plus it feels like you're holding a cold, wet baby.
So you...
And beer. Actual beer. Not yellow water. Beer. And lots of it. Butter tarts. If you put sex and gold into a blender, you get a butter tart. Of course, hockey. We did it first, we still do it best.
But American teams win the Stanley Cup.
American teams, Canadian players. Oh, and to your KFC point, Colonel Sanders lived in Canada, so we made it even better by pronouncing it KFC. It's true. He lived in Canada from 1965 to 1980. Yeah, that is weird, but it's true. But you know what we don't have?
What?
Pennies, because they're stupid pocket weights.
Y'all do have some stuff to celebrate, I guess.
Yeah. Sorry.
And there you have it, folks. Dude Did Will, the Story of People podcast with Brittle Star, the internet's favorite dad. That's what they call you.
Yeah. I've got the caveat, the disclaimer, the asterisk at the end of that, just in case someone like sues me.
In case there's another award-winning internet dad.
Exactly. Well, I mean, here's the thing. It says so the asterisk and it says unproven, just to sort of clarify. That, you know, I'm just, it's like for entertainment purposes only. It's like if you buy a raft thing at the dollar store for your pool. It's like, it's just for entertainment purposes. It's not going to save you.
Not going to save you at all. Exactly. No one's getting saved from those. It's Dude Did Will, the Story of People podcast, also known this week as the Brick Wall podcast. Fellow Brick Wall, I appreciate the time. Thank you so much for making the time for little old me as we rebuild this show. But a big fan. That video for me is so funny, so Canadian. I travel with so many Americans that rip this shit out of us on a daily basis. So I hold that video near and dear to me. So thank you, sir, and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much, and thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. You know, that video is hilarious because I think it's been seen 65 million times on all platforms already. I think just over that this year. And it's the only thing that's ever made a U.S. Customs guard smile at me and be nice to me. And I was heading down to California for meetings, and he's like, where are you going? I was like, Los Angeles. He's like, why are you going there? Meetings. What do you do for a living? I said, I make videos on the internet, which is the wrong answer, by the way. And he's like, what kind of videos? And I was like, you ever seen the Explaining Canada Day to Americans video, like where the neighbors were over the fence? And he went, oh, that's you. And he stamped my passport. And he goes, have a good time.
Have a good time. Yeah. It's amazing how much red tape can get eliminated upon a laugh.
Exactly. You
make somebody laugh so hard like that is pretty funny. So those videos are great. They just, I mean, a few things to get into, but a lot of fun, man. Are they ever a blast to watch? And it must take up a lot of the time. But we'll dive in a bit because I'm sure we can get into a couple different things here. So let's start with the first question that I ask everybody. Brittle Star, what do you do?
That's a good question. You sound like my parents.
I am a parent.
Well, exactly. So, what do I do? I make, the short answer is I make videos for social media. That's the short answer. And the slightly more detailed is I make videos for social media, but 95% of them are just original content that I do kind of for fun and just to sort of entertain the masses. And then about 5% of those are branded pieces where I get paid by a brand to make a silly video like I normally do, except include the brand somehow. And that's what I do. That's essentially what I do. But I do a bunch of other stuff too, but that's the highlight.
What a blast to do it full time and make a living at it. I mean, everyone has a podcast, hands up. Everyone has this and some kind of media process. We all have, you know, the internet at our fingers. We're all kind of content creators in some capacity, but getting paid full time to do it is a hell of a feat. And I always appreciate it when somebody has carved out their niche and been able to do it. And it's a blast to watch you do it. It's a full time job. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been doing this full time for the past 10 years as of this year, which is crazy, isn't it? Isn't that insane for to have to be a grown man and to make videos in your home and other stuff in your house, and then just that's your job? I mean, that's not a real job at all.
How much is 10 years in internet time?
Like 1,000,
right? You starting 10 years ago would have, you know, it wasn't Netscape and DOS, but it's changing every day right now.
Yeah, I did just recently. I did some work for Disney, and we were in Orlando for the new Tron ride, which is fantastic, by the way.
Done it.
And I think it opens tomorrow. That's my plug to keep Disney happy. Love me, Mouse.
as long as you get free passes.
Exactly. But we were down there, and the amazing people from Disney Canada are phenomenal. But then I was saying to them, oh, this is really interesting because, you know, it's actually 10 years since our very first branded gig, which was with Disney. Like, we got contacted by Disney Parks US to come down and do stuff with Disney 10 years ago. And like, okay. And they had no recollection of this at all. And I was like, I started on Vine. They're like, yeah, no, I think I've heard of Vine. And I was like, oh, God, like, how old am I? I felt so old starting Vine when I was 43 in 2013. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm from another planet now. I'm like from like it's like it's trying to it's like what do they call that continent before the continent separated? Pangea, is that what it's called? It's like I'm the Pangea era from the internet, and it all separated out from there.
It's every single day. It's as I'm trying to build a new brand show.
You're right,
and bringing my listeners from the old show, which was good. I had good numbers, but trying to drive them to new platforms, and you're like, oh my God, I've just spent 3 days redoing these, and then now, you know, today there's a brand new update to this and update to that. So
sure,
I mean, it must be is it still fun? Like, is it still fun because all the editing and all the shit that we have to do to kind of keep up to what's going on?
I mean, yes, it's still fun. It's a tremendous amount of work though. Like, I think that's one of the things that people I've noticed over the years, people say, I want to do what you're doing. I want to have, you know, the ability to make videos and stuff and just have that my job. And it's like, well, it's a hell of a lot of work, but sure, go for it. It's a hell of a lot of work. It's a lot of panic and a lot of like, okay, I have to make this video today, because if I don't make this video today, someone else is going to make it, or it's just not going to be funny in 2 days or 3 days or 4 days. It's a much different production schedule than like television or something. So it's fun. It's tiring sometimes, because sometimes you sort of feel like you're like, oh, okay, I can rest now. And you're like, no, you can't rest. I mean, a good example is Vine, like coming up on Vine, which gave us so many opportunities, got me invited to the White House, you know, worked with the Property Brothers for a number of years and did a whole bunch of cool stuff. And then I had 1.2 million followers, and then it just went away. And it was like, oh, okay, so I guess I can't rest on that. So there's no resting. It's like you're constantly working, and you can't just kind of rely on YouTube or Twitter or Facebook. You can't rely on the platform. You have to be platform agnostic.
the fact that it changes so much, and so you have 2.2 million people on Vine, which equates to what, 10,000 new people when you switch over, that people that try to find you, and like, it's, oh my God, it had to have been so frustrating.
Yeah, there, it's, I mean, it's so hard to get people to shift platforms. And it's funny because you would think, well, if people are on Instagram, they're probably on Facebook, they're probably on Twitter, they're probably on YouTube. And it's like, not necessarily. Plus, right. Also, it's like a whole other ecosystem that they have to migrate to and learn. I know we used to have a live stream that would happen on Friday mornings, like a morning show called The Morning Show Thing that I did with myself and my wife, Shannon. And we did it for 5 years on mm-hmm. Facebook. And eventually Facebook, the algorithm was just being horrendous to us, which fair dues, because there was lots of terrible things that happened on Facebook Live. So they were a little reluctant to just push live stuff out all the time. And we were like, okay, we'll switch to Twitch because then we can get like paid. And it's a better platform for live, and it's got lots of bells and whistles, and it's super fun. And let's do that. And it was like re-educating everyone who'd watched us on Facebook, and then eventually realizing there's no way we're going to convert more than like 2% of the people who were on Facebook to come to Twitch. It's just not going to happen. So yeah, it's really hard to get them get people to port over to different platforms. It's a small group of people that are comfortable or are on every platform. Everybody else is like, yeah, I clock into Instagram and that's what I do. Or I clock into Twitter or I clock into Facebook. And they're not interested in going elsewhere. You know what I mean?
No, and it because the ones that aren't creating content just want to look at the squares that they that they have in their life and that's it. But the content people like ourselves, I mean, that hamster is on cocaine right now, just flying on that wheel, trying to just catch up to what we're doing. I have voiceover people in my life, but you as a that have to always carry their gear with them. I carry my gear with me when I travel mm-hmm. just to be able to, you know, do a pod in a hotel. But to your point about, you know, someone else is going to make that video or however you have to plan it out. Are you like out with the family, walking Canada's Wonderland, everything's amazing, content idea comes to your head and you're like, you guys go over there, I need to bang something out in 45 seconds, or do you table it, or does it have to happen at that moment, and how do you do that?
I mean, there was a time when it was kind of like that, like we started doing stuff like the whole family on screen in 2013 when our youngest was 11 and our oldest was 14. They're now 21 and 24. So they are doing their own thing. So they rarely will you find them walking around Canada's Wonderland with me. But, you know, there have been times in the past, like one of my favorite videos ever is, I think we were in Universal Studios for a thing. There's like a Parisian back sort of courtyard type setting as part of the Parisian streetscape they had or something. It was whatever. And it was like, oh, this is really cool. I want to make a video about how you guys are watching me and I'm trying to make a Vine or whatever at the time it was, but you don't want to do it. And they wouldn't do it with me. Like they just wouldn't. They wouldn't. No. They were like, no, we're done. And so that's actually one of my favorite ones because I actually got my wife to film it anyway. And it's just me sitting looking really sad in this empty little, you know, patio sort of type setting into France. And it says, it's like this French music and it's me going, je suis désolé. That's it.
So I think that realistically then, you started sad Keanu Reeves.
I think that's fair to say,
right?
I think that's fair to say, yeah.
He's just owning it now after off all the John Wick press. He's starting to be like, okay, yeah, I can own this sad Keanu Reeves thing. It's pretty funny, but I think it goes back to Brittle Star.
I think so. It probably does. And I think the thing is, that I'm tired of Keanu riding my coattails. That's the thing. It's like,
aren't we all?
Physicality.
Enough with the Canada thing, Keanu.
Yeah,
he's exactly. Great. He's been awesome, and he's a big. You know, I like his story. Oh my God. I'm really hoping he doesn't slap somebody at the Oscars coming up, because I really don't want anything ruined about that guy. He's quite something.
I know. He seems great. End of that. God, let's not hope this gets turned into a clip later.
Were you sitting? I don't know where you stood on Will Smith leading into that. But when that happened, were you kind of like, huh? Because I had just read his book like a month prior, and I was on Team Will. I was like, this guy seems to have it all dialed in. And then that happened, and I'm like, oh.
I think it's because I saw clips of like the Red Table thing they did.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know if that's going to end well. That sounds like a lot of bottled up anxiety and anger. I don't know if that's going to go well. And I think it, you know, I think we found out it didn't go well. So, I mean, yeah, I think one of the was funny about the slap thing with Will Smith was that it was kind of like, this is a bunch of rich people doing rich people things. Whatever. I mean, if somebody else did that, they would be maybe locked up.
Did that? Can you imagine that happening at the Junos?
Yeah.
Right. One of my Chad Kroger from Nickelback comes up and smacks the guy from City and Color or something, and people are like, "Look at that!
Yeah, shut the hell up, Dallas! Yeah, get a real name."
Yeah. Exactly. It would go down. Okay, so this journey obviously has led you to full time, but my friend, how did you do it?
I think one of the biggest benefits I had to turn this into a full-time gig is that I had no other options. We had the situation we were in prior to starting this as a full-time gig was that we had a business that was basically blown apart. It was an online development company and it ended up getting hacked. Then we lost a huge contract. And then my tax bill was like, I think it was like six times the size of my 2008 income. So it was like, oh, okay. Well, I could get a job and that's not going to pay the bills. Or I'm going to have to try to do something that's going to be like bigger swings. So I can take bigger swings at this debt and bigger swings at all the responsibilities I have. And so it was kind of like, well, we have no option. And then we did that and we got called the first time. The reason I got into it in the first place was just sort of make myself happy because I was really depressed and kind of bummed out. And this sounds ridiculous, but I was downtown and I stopped at the stoplight and I think I laughed at something. I was like, oh God, I haven't laughed. Like, I can't remember the last time I laughed. It was like, that's not good. And I was like, okay, I'm going to make a concerted effort to kind of make myself happy. So I started messing around with Vine because my youngest son, Gregor, was like, check this out. It's like the video version of Twitter. And messed around with that and did some silly stuff. And then we did the one video, Put Your Finger on the Screen, which kind of took off. We did a few more after that also took off, thanks to the first success of the first one. And then Disney contacted us. And we were suddenly down in California with all these creators. And I remember saying to myself and my wife, Shannon, were saying to these other creators who were mostly YouTubers, we're like, well, so what do you do for a job? And they're like, well, YouTube. I'm like, no. Like, what's your job? I'm like, YouTube is the job. And we had a conversation, myself and Shannon, where we're like, we should do this. This sounds, you know, because we were getting paid thousands of dollars to do something we thought we were just doing for fun. And it was like, oh, okay, we'll do this. And we get to travel. We get to spend time with the kids. And we also get to pay off our bills. This sounds like a good deal. And it hasn't been smooth sailing from then, but it's kind of like, you know, from that point, it was like Disney was a huge deal. And then I didn't get any deals for 3 months. And then it was like tiny dating app that hired me to do a bunch of videos. Why?
Were you the internet's most popular dad at that point?
Exactly.
That's right.
Bit of a DILF energy, maybe. I don't know. yeah, I wish. And it was really weird. But anyway, I mean, the idea was that it was kind of like, well, we're going to make this work because I think there's something here. I think there's opportunity here. And I think I'm fitting into a niche that isn't overoccupied currently. I'm not super cute. I'm not 18. And I rarely go without a shirt. So I'm the guy in the pool with the t-shirt on, probably.
There's a whole market for that. There's a whole market for that. Don't worry about that. And clearly you've carved that out, but I think it's from being funny, not from being shirtless in a pool, my guess is. Vine kind of takes you there. Mm-hmm. And then you have to figure out all the rest of them, which we touched on a little bit. Yeah. You have to kind of touch on the rest of them. So at what point did you know that you could do this full time? Was there a 6 month stage where it was like, this is it? I think all the way on this now.
I think by the time we got to 2014, it was like, okay, this isn't smooth sailing yet, but we're getting something every month to 2 months. We were in part of a community and we saw the other members of this community of content creators were like, yeah, I'm getting like, you know, one brand deal a month and that's more than I would make at a full-time job. So I think I can just do this instead. And that's kind of how it came to us. It was kind of like, okay, we're not getting everything like clockwork, like any self-employed person. You don't get paid every 2 weeks. You know, you don't live the life of someone with a paycheck, but you're like, okay, I'll do this because I know that for the past X number of months, something's come in every so often, so I'm probably going to be okay. I'm going to give this a go. And you never really know. I mean, that's the thing. It could all just stop tomorrow. But in the same way that if you owned, I always remind myself this when I start to panic, in the same way that if you owned a convenience store, it's like people just might stop coming tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Like you might get no customers as of tomorrow. And I mean, it's improbable, but at the same time, it's possible. So it's the same way.
If I think the world is it's endless now, which is to me, it's a problem for the kids right now, and also an advantage. There's this weird divide. I've got two. Mine are 14 and 12. It's this weird thing of the college and university versus like just adapting to the world. There seems to be more money made with less diplomas than ever.
Sure.
From the standpoint, and you still need your nurses and your doctors and all that.
Absolutely.
I'm not discouraging that side of it, but the content side of it is just erupted so much.
Yeah.
That some of these kids are obviously, you know, they have $100,000 in the bank before they even leave high school, just from Twitch and some of these things, which is now, I think, not having them really do what you just said, where it's like it could end at any point. They're just looking at the now and saying, well, I'm making $100,000 a month right now. I'm doing this and that, so I don't need to worry about the future. So how did you work your kids through that, or do they have any interest in actually staying in content, or did you have to kind of guide them and kind of say, hey, listen, the bottom could fall out here?
Well, I think that, you know, our kids lived through the bottom falling out. Our kids lived through us having a very successful business for 10 years and having a bunch of employees and an office and all that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden it just went away. And, you know, there was a brief moment of redemption when we sold what was left of our company. And that's what our youngest, we used to call the limousine days. And it's because we had a limousine like twice to two events that time. And it was like, cool. But apart from that, I mean, they lived through like the lentils and stuff. Like we ate lentils for every dinner, like for weeks. Like it's ridiculous to the point where I hate them. And so they've kind of seen that. Our oldest, I think if he because he was a little older coming into it, it's a little rougher going into social media when it's so new like that, when you're mid-teens, because you've kind of established who you are, but then you have to kind of reinvent yourself to fit this, and you have to steel yourself and gird yourself to social media life. So he's happy to not take center stage. He's much more of a back-end production type of guy. He's toured South America and as a guitarist for a pop star and all that kind of stuff. So he's done a bunch of cool stuff. But he's also very happy to not be, you know, the center of attention or the clown or whatever like that. Whereas our youngest is more like me and kind of like, yeah, I'll do this. And our oldest does podcast production and does really, really well at that. Like he's an award-winning podcast producer. And then our youngest is like a social media content creator who has made more money this first quarter than I did some years, like in the past 10 years, you know, and I was not supporting family four. Oh, it's crazy. And I love it. I mean, it's so great. But I mean, the thing to remember is that, you know, the bottom could fall out of anything at any time. That's the thing. I mean, my dad was employed for, you know, about 24 years, I think, at his place of business. And then the new owners came in and just, he was just out, you know, when he was like 47. And I remember thinking at the time, God, I never want to be in that position. I never want to be in the position where I could sink my whole life into someone else's machine. And then they just go, we're done with you. That'd be horrible to me.
Is there a favorite video that you made in the did process here that kind of got you to that you're most proud of, that opened up this door to be able to do this for the rest of your life?
I mean, I have a weird relationship with the videos, and that it's like, you know, sometimes it's sort of, it's the cliche, you have to be able to kill your darlings. You kind of have to disassociate yourself. I try to think of myself in the most poetic way possible. I think, no, I'm more of a Leonard Cohen. I just kind of like it. They belong to the people now.
Understood.
Like Suzanne. Same with Suzanne.
People ask all the time, they go, oh, you do listen back on the podcast. And I'm like, only to make sure I don't sound like Jason Bateman still. You know?
There are worse things.
No, it's great. When they started Smartless, I got all these messages, because when I first start, you know, I'm not a journalist. I'm an asshole that flies around the world trying to find the best coffee, and I run concerts. So I'm not qualified to do any of this shit. However, when they started Smartless, Jason was doing three-part questions, which I still find myself guilty of from time to time. But Jason would be like, so you planted that tree in your backyard, but where did you find the tree, and how did that tree come into your being, and then did your kids play on the tree, and then did you have to take the tree out when you moved? Like, that's sort of like, that was one question from Jason, and I'm listening back going, shit, I think I've done that a little bit. And people are tweeting me going, Bateman sounds just like you. And I tried to nail him on Twitter, but apparently he doesn't know who I am. So there we go.
We'll try to fix that. We'll see if we
can fix that. Did you, have you always been funny? Did you do stand up in this process of
I've been asked to do, like, I've done speaking gigs where I do like keynotes and stuff like that.
Sure.
And, but I've been hired for a couple of keynotes that turned out they just wanted like 20 minutes of comedy. And I was like,
yeah,
good luck, guys. As long as I get paid, you get what you get. Cause I am not a stand up comedian. It's its own art form. And it's like, I can't, it takes a long time to hone that craft and to be able to do it, or the right kind of person. I don't know if I'm that person or not. That saying, I'm happy to do it for more money again. That's fine.
Of course.
I think that I learned really quickly when I started doing this, and I was like, I'm going to do it seriously. I was like, there's a huge difference between, you know, doing something funny or saying something funny and comedy. Like, they're very different things. Just because you're funny at the pub doesn't mean that you're going to be good at comedy. You have to be kind of aware of, like, well, what's going to make sense to people? What do I need? Mm-hmm. I need to make sure they understand the setup before I get to the punch, because if they don't understand the setup, the punch won't mean anything, and it'll just be like, oh, I guess that's the way things are. I come from a Scottish family, and it's very much that Scottish culture is very much a storytelling, make your friends laugh, and telling the same stories over and over again and just making them better every time, and more exaggerated. So, I mean, I've got a little bit of that behind me, but I mean, apart from that, it was like I had to try to learn comedy as much as I could, and like, why do people laugh and stuff?
It's such, I love comedy so much. I love stand up so much, and studying, you know, Seinfeld and all these greats that, you know, Jerry's got a point that you don't need to burn your material. You know, it's egotistical of these comedians to think that everyone's seen their stuff.
I know.
And he's like, why do you, I've been doing this, you know, he'll do the same act for 4 years and then burn it, you know? And it's amazing to me to watch that. And I also love the point that everyone can be funny for 5 minutes, but try being funny for six.
It's very true. It's super hard. It's really difficult. I mean, the point of the burning your material thing, one of my favorite comedians ever is Billy Connolly, Scottish guy.
Yeah.
And he's so funny. But I mean, the thing I love about Billy Connolly is that I want to go see him when he was still touring. I want to see him do this bit, this bit, this bit, this. It's like a concert. I want to go see, I don't want you to go. It's like, just play Taking Care of Business. Don't play any of your new stuff. It's kind of like that. And I think there's, you know, comedy is again, its own art, I think.
How has your content evolved then to that point of burning the material, coming up with new stuff? What do you find your biggest, oh, here's the Bateman question. What do you find your biggest progress has been in to try to build new content, you know, that process?
I think the biggest probably leap forward for me was when I used to go with, when I was creating videos, I would get a concept in mind. I'd get a couple of bits sort of in my head, and then I would just improv it, you know, like whatever we're doing, just improv it. And I changed about coming up on 4 years ago now, where I was like, I'm just going to script everything. And the reason I wanted to try it, and the reason I still do it, is because it's like, oh, there are words that are funnier and more impactful than other words. And I want to make sure I don't forget those words. I want to make sure I hit those words. And I think that's made the biggest difference for me, is being able to be like, okay, I'm going to script this out. And then I can say something that's a turn of phrase or some sort of, you know, non sequitur weirdness that comes in the middle of an argument that I try to make into an analogy or something. And it's like, I can only do that. I can kind of do that in, you know, off the cuff, but I can guaranteed do it if I write it down first.
Sure. I appreciate that that little journey there, because that's comedy is the most brilliant thing in the world when it's done right, and can be mind-numbingly terrible when it doesn't when it doesn't hit. And you're just hitting home runs the whole time. I love my favorite video of yours was through the COVID process when you did the, I think it was it the Titanic you were on?
Oh, yeah.
But it was like,
and the Carpathia, you know, was coming by.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And you were like, should we get on the boat? Should we get off the boat? It was the, you know, it was so funny. And, you know, it doesn't that content seem so long ago, even though that topic has been relatively still on everyone's mind, but it's it just seems like an eternity ago. Even myself, like, you know, I went, the first time I ever went viral was when I announced I had COVID. I was like the 40th person in British Columbia to get
it.
And I went viral on TikTok, like 50,000 people in a day. And I'm like,
crazy.
What?
Crazy. Yeah.
You know, and I couldn't, I was like, what is going on? And the anniversary of that just came up, and it seems like such an eternity. And I travel for work now. I'm around millions of people. And it's like, man, that was like a scene out of Star Trek that we just like.
Oh, my God.
That we just teleported to, and now we're back and everything's back.
I mean it's hard to process. It sounds really sort of, you know, inconsequential, but I shared a clip that I saw of Big Brother Canada, which I'm a big fan of, by the way, of the Big Brother series in general. But Big Brother Canada specifically, the casting's always great because it's very much a slice of Canada. And they played the clip of the season that they had to shut down because of COVID, because of the labor rules and stuff. They're like, we can't have anything that's non-essential happening. And I watched it. And I was like weeping watching this clip of Big Brother Canada going, oh, God, why am I crying Big Brother Canada? It's like, because it was, I think we kind of, it's easy for us to kind of just box that up and like put it on the shelf, Raiders of the Lost Ark style. No, we'll just never talk about that again.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was so horrible. It was just so terrible for so many different reasons. So
I know. But here we are on the other side. And
exactly.
And trying to make people laugh. So keeping an eye out, my friend, what will you do next?
That's a really great question. I think, you know, we just, I'm very interested in producing things, which is good. So things like, we did a series for Beck Taxi in Toronto, a podcast series. And Adam Groh, the guy from Cash Cab, hosts that, which is great. And my son Owen produced it. I'm interested in that kind of stuff. So we have a few things that might happen in that direction. And then this fall, I have a book coming out called Welcome to the Stupid Apocalypse. And it's through Simon & Schuster on their Post Hill Press imprint in the States, and it'll be available everywhere. And it should be fun. It should be good. The foreword's written by Ryan Reynolds. And
amazing.
The afterword's written by Colin Mochrie, and the middle word is written by Mary Trump. So
that's what's a book. I'm always amazed at a book.
That people still read?
Well, there's that. I mean, because we're all doing audio, we're all doing podcasts now. So it's one of those things where the book becomes a podcast, and
sure.
And people are like, well, I just prefer to listen to that instead of reading. And I'm a reader still. I still like picking up that kind of stuff. So I'll definitely be a buyer. So
thank you. I appreciate it. It's a book of essays. So it's perfect for podcasts. We'll do episode. Each essay will be an episode. There you go.
That wasn't written by ChatGPT. It was
mostly. It wasn't at all written by ChatGPT.
What's the premise of the book?
So it talks about different things like Canada and America and parenting and family and politics and all that kind of stuff. And there's about 50 essays in it, and they're all kind of in the same vein as the monologue videos that I do, kind of pointing out the stupid and absurd things that happen that we accept, and making sure we remember how stupid and absurd they are so that we don't get too wound up in the nonsense, basically. So, it's called Welcome to the Stupid Apocalypse, Survival Tips for the Dumbageddon. So.
And how much speaking are you doing right now?
I just hosted a thing and spoke last week. So, I mean, it's been slow-ish, but not bad. I mean, it's sort of the weird time of year. It comes up every couple months, maybe, I think, roughly, for speaking, which is fine by me. It's really, I think people are still really kind of timorous to do events. They're kind of like, they don't really quite know how to do the live event thing totally yet for corporate stuff. So
can I ask about the switch that you might have to turn on when you say do two different sides of the equation speaking? So maybe one month, 1 week you're in Alberta
Yeah.
And then the next week you're in British Columbia and the Alberta conference is at a gas conference and you just want them to laugh. But there's probably a certain amount of jokes that you're going to have to do there versus coming to British Columbia, which might be a little bit more, how do we say, less angry about things. I mean, is that a challenge for you?
Well, I think what's funny right off the bat is me being invited to speak at a gas conference in Alberta is pretty funny on its own. But I think...
talent is talent, my friend, and content is content.
I mean, that's one of the skills of speaking that I'm still learning that kind of translates into like crosses over into a stand-up skill is knowing your audience, who's in the audience, and how you work with those people. I remember I got asked to do initially a speaking gig, but ended up turning up to, they just wanted like 50 minutes of comedy. It's like, I'm not that funny. And it was for the grain farmers of Ontario. And it was in a lovely event. It was fantastic and it was all great, but it was a room full of, you know, large farmers. So like high-end, top-end farmers who were looking at me. And the last speaker they had was Rick Mercer prior to the pandemic. And then they were stuck with me. Like, this is how far things have fallen in thanks to COVID, is you've got me now. And, but I remember I messaged Rick Mercer and I was like, hey, listen, you spoke to these guys last. Any tips? And he was like, make lots of grain jokes.
Simple. Like,
that's fair.
There ain't no gas in it. Just put gas in it.
Exactly. I was like, okay, good. So I think I think those are the only two jokes that I only did two jokes that were like based around grain. And those were the only ones that really got big laughs. Everything else was kind of like, this guy's weird. So
last question for you before I let you out of here, and I appreciate the time. So you are the internet's favorite dad. You've blown up all over the place. You've got some amazing content. But what I'm really most concerned about here, are you tired?
Oh, my God, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. I am so tired. If you're listening to just the audio version, listen to the weariness in my voice, the tiredness in my voice. I think it sort of harkens back to the beginning of the conversation where I was like, you kind of want to go, okay, I've made it. I've made it. And there's no more making it. There's no more I've made it. I think you look at anybody who's like monstrously successful, like Ryan Reynolds or something, and you're like, I keep thinking to myself, Ryan, just like relax, man. You don't have to do it. You don't have to do anything else.
Yeah.
But that's not how it works, though. So.
No, I'm a firm believer in the saying that the top of one level is the bottom of the next.
Exactly. That's well said.
And you just got to keep, you got to just decide what level you want to stay on. We're just in a big, giant world of Q-bert, my friend, and we just got to decide where we want to stay.
Yeah.
And if we're happy with that or if we want to keep jumping. So
I like Q-bert. The Q-bert's much less heady than saying this is like a Sisyphus type thing.
That's right.
I like Q-bert better.
You mentioned about Rick Mercer on before you and then how it had fallen down to you, but I do not agree. I 100% want to thank you so much for the time to come on to this show and making time for me as I build this thing. And you have been a get for me for a while. I've just been waiting for the right time to reach out, and you were very cordial, and I appreciate everything that you do for internet dads around the world. And thank you so much for your time today, man. It's a big help to me, but it's also I think very informative for our listeners to learn a little bit more about you.
It's been a blast. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate all the kind words.
Yeah, it's great. Where can people find you online, sir?
You find me anywhere at @BrittleStar. Just look for my amazing handsome face. And I'm a white guy with black rim glasses. There's very few of us.
Just add a beard.
I've been trying that since I was 14. I'm still in the process right now.
Gingers unite, my friend. We're both. Thanks. That's Brittle Star. It is Wednesday. I am going to leave you guys with this. Make sure you check him out online. That's Dude Did Will, the Story of People podcast this week on the Cryer Media Network. Thank you so much, sir. I have to start this thing now like a professional. Hold on.
Welcome to Wednesday. Your week is already well underway and nowhere close to over. Wednesdays are like being in the middle of a root canal at the dentist. You've begun the process and it's too late to turn back now. Wednesdays are a mutually agreed upon resignation of hope, dreams, and all that is good. Wednesdays are when your focus on goals and achievement transforms into purely focusing on survival. Wednesdays are the reason Thursdays look good. Wednesdays are like finding out you're not a strong swimmer after you've jumped into the lake from the floating dock that's nowhere near shore. You're just gonna have to swim. Swim, damn it. Swim. Happy Hump Day.
I'm Matt Kundle, host of the Sound Off Podcast, the show about podcast and broadcast. Since 2016, we've been speaking with amazing people who have populated your ears for decades. Legendary broadcasters, research wizards, talent experts, podcasters, voice talent. Almost 400 stories, all for free. Subscribe or follow the Sound Off Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at soundoffpodcast.com.
Kids, I'm your eager beaver.
And I'm Mr. Grizzly.
If you love politics
or hate politics,
then have we the perfect podcast for you.
The True North Eager Beaver.
Incisive political commentary.
We keep you up to date
and give you the political and media literacy you seek
to help you
cut through the bovine fecal matter.
Facts first.
Sound analysis.
Sometimes I growl.
Sometimes I sass.
We impart civics and build community.
And we share some laughs along the way.
Being informed
and engaged has never been more fabulous.
Or sexy.
Catch us on the Dean Blundell Network.
Or on our YouTube channel.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Because democracy is something you do.